Have you ever left a conversation fuming, wondering what's wrong with someone who seems determined to make your life miserable? Dr. Xavier Crement offers a startling diagnosis. They're suffering from assholism, an addiction as serious as alcoholism. This addiction to power, control, and self-importance manifests as deliberately obnoxious behavior that wreaks havoc in relationships and workplaces. The term asshole carries therapeutic value precisely because clinical terms lack its rich associations. While ordinary people feel offended by the label, actual assholes often wear it proudly. They need a term that makes everyone laugh at them. Like alcoholism, recovery begins with admission. I am an asshole. Assholes excel at ensuring someone's always around to serve their needs, developing sophisticated systems of manipulation. They operate under the core belief that everyone exists solely to meet their demands, becoming visibly annoyed when others demonstrate independent thinking. Since they shirk responsibility and ignore reality, they maintain absurdly high self-esteem through elaborate self-deception. As psychologist Charles Cumberbatch observes, if the Queen of England were to inspect the prison and walk by an asshole cell, he would believe she was lucky to have met him. Communication becomes their most sophisticated weapon. They've mastered the art of saying little while appearing comprehensive, strategically withholding crucial information until after failure occurs. This allows them to add clarifications later, making others look incompetent while positioning themselves as the only capable person in the room. Their toolkit includes subtle blame shifting, strategic bullying, habitual lying, often so convincing they believe themselves, fact twisting, and artfully changing subjects when others feel victimized. Anger isn't just an emotion, it's their finely tuned instrument of control, keeping others perpetually off balance. Like wind patterns, toxic behavior varies in intensity. Flaming assholes represent hurricane force toxicity, loud, obnoxious, and relentless. Unlike their TV counterparts, real-life flamers excel at character assassination with remarkable persistence. Situational assholes shift between pleasant and toxic depending on circumstances. Consider Edith, typically a caring mother who, frustrated by mess, donated her children's toys to charity in front of them, telling her 3-year-old to earn money for replacements. Sissy assholes mask aggression behind meekness. These passive-aggressive types come in two forms: sweet manipulators who create dependency through flattery, and sour critics who pose as moral guardians while breeding discord. They maintain positive public images while undermining targets through subtle actions. Different environments breed specific toxic behaviors. Liberated assholes weaponize activism. Holy assholes cloak malice in righteousness. New Age assholes exploit spiritual trends, and bureaucratic assholes abuse power through arbitrary rules and obstacles. Certain environments breed distinct asshole varieties. The liberated asshole champions causes while seeking control, justifying any action from lies to destruction for their sacred mission. Holy assholes uniquely combine divine authority with malice, actively spreading their toxic beliefs. They display self-righteous arrogance while claiming to follow religious virtues. New Age assholes profess universal love until challenged. These opportunists exploit spiritual trends for profit, declaring expertise with minimal credentials and building cultish followings. Bureaucratic assholes flourish in government roles, wielding power through deliberate obstacles and delays. Like former DMV employee Julia Kidds, who failed qualified drivers for sport, they weaponize time, knowing they have it while citizens don't. Assholism can infect entire organizations, not just individuals. From businesses to religious groups, schools to societies, mass assholism occurs when institutions normalize and reward toxic behaviors, creating self-perpetuating cycles of dysfunction. Religious institutions become toxic when they promote harmful ideas that damage self-confidence and divide communities. The issue isn't faith itself, but zealots who claim divine love while acting contrary to it, often using shame and fear as control mechanisms rather than fostering genuine spiritual growth. Educational institutions display assholism when they produce graduates who can't read effectively and require remedial education. A cycle of blame perpetuates the problem. Teachers' unions protect ineffective members, school boards claim powerlessness, and governments study issues without implementing solutions. The media exemplifies institutional assholism through its arrogance without accountability, reputation-destroying practices, obsession with politicians' personal lives, oversimplification of complex issues, and selective reporting that masquerades as objectivity while pushing predetermined narratives. Most people must work with assholes without proper training. Don't compete with them or attempt reform. Instead, survive with dignity by remembering appearances matter to them. Show sincere interest and respect using phrases like "thank you" and "you're right" without expecting reciprocation. Friends can become assholes through infection or deception. Watch for red flags, demanding repeated proof of friendship, revealing convenient rules, expecting one-sided assistance, constant problem dumping, requiring shared enemies, and rejecting criticism. Once identified, take action. Acknowledge the imbalance, set boundaries, charge for emotional labor, or distance yourself completely. Marriage to an asshole requires specific strategies. Divorce often creates more problems than it solves, so focus on managing the situation. Lower expectations, develop emotional resilience, find discrete alternatives, and minimize conflict through strategic agreement. Some children are naturally difficult, regardless of parenting. The tough luck approach recommends refusing responsibility for their comfort, ignoring minor complaints, halting uncooperative behavior, involving authorities when needed, and requiring household participation. Recovery begins when psychological defenses crumble, usually after a crisis, forcing recognition of one's asshole behavior. The individual must confront their empty values, persistent dishonesty, and controlling tendencies through intimidation. The contrition phase involves dismantling toxic habits like arrogance and manipulation, leading to a period of vulnerability as conscience awakens. In the regenesis phase, individuals build positive qualities, learning cooperation over competition, accepting responsibility, and developing genuine compassion. Recovery tools include group therapy for accountability, individual therapy to address underlying trauma, and shock therapy for resistant cases. The 12-step program provides structure through personal responsibility and making amends. Despite the risk of relapse, recovering assholes discover the profound joy of genuine human connection. Dr. Kremen's story exemplifies this transformation. His wife returned for a second honeymoon, his estranged daughter forgave him, and his son taught him to fly. He ultimately transitioned from proctology to psychiatry, helping fellow assholes recover. The recovered asshole discovers what they've been missing, authentic relationships based on mutual respect rather than fear. Former patients find joy in simple interactions they once dismissed, from conversations with store clerks to honest exchanges with colleagues. The energy once spent maintaining their asshole persona now fuels meaningful pursuits. This message resonates beyond self-identified assholes. It's for anyone recognizing these patterns in themselves. The difference between an asshole and a decent human being isn't perfection, it's self-awareness and willingness to change. Recovery happens in moments, choosing empathy over judgment, cooperation over competition. It requires only the courage to stop being an asshole and start becoming human again.